minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello once again, everybody. Welcome to the Pack-A-Day Podcast, your one-stop shop for all things green and gold. It is over. The NFL draft is complete. The Packers made 6 picks on day 3, and we're going to break down all 6 of them. My name is Mike Wellen. I'm joined by Matt Fralick and Gage Bridgeford, and once again, heavy on the lines, and the Packers seem to have addressed a lot of their needs on day 3 with some high upside prospects who could, if they pan out, be productive members of this team for a while to come. A lot of good, solid players, I thought, on day 3.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree with you, Mike, and I think Gage feels the same way. Surprised they didn't address linebacker a little bit more heavily, or even specifically an inside backer, but I think that just kind of tells you where the Packers gauge that position on defense. But Gage, what was your thoughts on the 6 selections and the UDFAs that we'll get into?
I was a fan of most of them. I'm always a fan of adding more offensive linemen. I think you can never have too many, and if you think that that's wrong, go watch the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl, and you'll be proved wrong, and then you will owe me $5. I have no problem adding cornerback help. Obviously, we'll talk about that in a bit. And I know you said it's kind of surprising to add a middle linebacker, but for me, looking at the guy they chose, Isaiah McDuffie, who we'll break down more specifically, is he's a kind of a combo guy. 224, 6'1", he's that athletic, traitsy coverage guy. That's what you're hoping to develop him into. So with more thumper guys already in the room, it kind of made sense to grab an inside linebacker of that type. Obviously, we'll talk about it more in a minute. I liked a lot of what Green Bay did on day 3 of the draft. I think that they handled days 1 and 2 very well, and day 3 was just finished off another solid class. And with the way the rest of the NFC North did, that was important for them to come out with a successful day.
For sure. And a couple things before we jump into the players, just a couple quotes from Brian Gutekunst, who's doing his press conference right about now, post-draft. And he talked, they wanted to target cornerbacks and offensive linemen in this draft. That was a key for them. And he wanted to go to linebacker earlier, but the board just didn't fall the way he wanted. He said he did not rule out signing a veteran if one becomes available. So there's options there. But he says it's built for the long haul, but there will be contributors right away this season with a lot of these guys. And I think a lot of these day 3 guys are going to step in right away as well. And especially, I think that's going to go with our first prospect that we'll talk about. We'll jump right in. And that was with pick number 142, round 4. That was their compensatory pick for Brian Bulaga, I'm pretty sure, or Blake Martinez, whichever one. And that's Royce Newman, offensive lineman out of Ole Miss. He's listed on NFL.com as a guard. I have him as a tackle. He played right tackle his last season at Ole Miss. He was a left guard for 2 years before then. The team has him listed as both a tackle and a guard, but this guy is a good, solid all-around player, 6'5", 306, redshirt senior. And dealt with Ole Miss's team, played in the SEC for 4 years. He's a guy who's going to come in and compete right away. And John Eric Sullivan, during the press conference following that pick, was really, really excited to bring him in, and he was excited for him to work with Adam Stanovich.
I like the pick a lot, and I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago, just like ways to predict stuff and, you know, the trends that are the Green Bay Packers. Like, getting a versatile guy is very common for the Packers, especially offensive linemen in the Gutekunst era, and I love that. Like, you have him, he's listed at guard on the RAS. I've seen him listed at tackle. I don't really care where he lines up. I do like the fact that he could sub in for anywhere on the line, and that's really what's been huge for the Packers, to be consistent and keep Aaron Rodgers off his back. Additionally, like, the other trend you'll see throughout this entire draft is just like SEC football players. They're drafting those guys from really high pedigree schools, as we tailed off towards the end of the draft, not so much, but they're getting these high caliber players that are playing in the toughest conference in the NCAA. So I like Royce Newman. I heard a lot of buzz from him. Obviously, that was a name that I didn't really notice until he was drafted, went in a little research, but it sounds like the consensus is it was a smash pick for them. Gage, do you agree?
Yeah, I like the Royce Newman pick. If you guys want to see a highlight of him, go check out Eli Berkowitz on Twitter at Book of Eli. He had one where Royce Newman pushed a man off the screen playing at tackle. He is a strong, versatile offensive lineman. He won't be required to start right away, which is huge. and he can come in and develop with Green Bay. And whether he's a swing tackle, which I know that we were talking about before, we talked about before the draft, we talked about during the draft, we've talked about for months, Green Bay needs to add swing tackle, needs to add depth. That's what Royce Newman gives you. If Josh Myers comes in, who was their second round pick, who the guys talked about yesterday, if he starts and then Royce Newman comes in and gives you depth, you are crushing two of your first four picks in this draft with guys that just can come in and they can give you, like you said, Matt, keep Rodgers off his back, keep him up and keep him mobile. And that's the way to keep him. And that's the way to keep this team successful and on schedule. So I like the Royce Newman pick. I think that it's I didn't know as ton about him when they grabbed him. I went and looked at him and I was like, hey, that's a great pick for me. I was all for it. And like you said, they are getting a lot of SEC guys. There's a lot of good players there. There's a reason that it's the best conference in college football, because there's a lot of talented guys that go there.
And notably as well, great set of salad on Mr. Newman there. Very, very nice lettuce. He's going to fit in quite well in that offensive line room.
I was about to bring up the exact same thing. The mullet is back. And here's another thing also. Like, he talked about going through conferences, and John Eric Sullivan talked about that as well after Newman pick, that they like targeting these bigger colleges like the SEC, Big Ten, ACC. They've played the best competition. They've played, and a lot of them played full seasons this past year as well, which is a good thing. And of the 9 picks they made, 8 of them are from those 3 conferences: Big Ten, ACC, SEC. For the first time in who knows how long, they didn't go to the Pac-12. They didn't touch the Big 12. They went basically the Mississippi River and East, and I'm okay with that. They got some big prospects coming in.
One thing I'm digging a little bit closer, and we can transition to another guy. Does it concern you that once the season kicks off, he'll be 24, or do you prefer your lineman to be a little bit more of a veteran type?
It all depends on injury history. If he's got a clean medical, then 24 is fine. You can get 2 contracts out of that. That's not an issue as long as he can play. It'd be different if he was Brandon Whedon, who was 138 when he got drafted at quarterback, or Chris Winkie, who I'm still convinced is Keith Richards in disguise and may actually be a zombie. Those guys are different, but 24 is not bad. Remember, a lot of people are talking about Brady Christensen coming to Green Bay during a lot of mock draft season. He's 24. Older prospects on the line don't bother me as much, because we've seen more and more recently linemen have been lasting longer than you'd think. I mean, Andrew Whitworth's 53 and he's still going. Like, there's guys who can play a long time on the line as long as they keep especially their lower body healthy. And Newman seems to have done that, and he seems he's got a good frame. They talked about maybe bulking him up a little bit during the press conference afterwards, because he is kind of lean at 6'5". But if you keep him at tackle, you probably want him about where he is.
I don't mind him being a little bit on the older side, because if you go and you take a look, he only was a starter for 2 years. So I don't mind the whole the age thing as much, because while he may be a little long in the tooth, he hasn't played nearly as long as a lot of guys that are his age. So like, he's coming out as a redshirt senior, but he's also not nearly as old as a lot of guys, or he doesn't have as many miles on the tires as a lot of guys coming out at his age.
All right, so let's jump
in. I agree with you guys.
So let's jump into round number 5. We'll go to pick 173, and I know a lot of fans were a little happy with this one. T.J. Slayton, big guy, Florida, just big, run stop.
Just thick.
Just not exactly Presley Harvin, the punter for Pittsburgh, but still thick for a defensive lineman.
Definitely. I love the pick. I've been waiting for that. I mean, they've drafted a couple guys and they've made comparisons locally. I know, Mike, you were listening a little bit. The boys, Marcus and the boys and Bill and Rookie. But, you know, they're comparing and contrasting him to Montrevious Adams. I don't really want to put him in that box, but I think Slayton overall is just a big body. That's what they've been lacking for years. I've been wanting that for a long time. I said this going into the draft. I'm like, instead of paying Snacks Harrison, instead of paying Danny Shelton, instead of paying some guy, maybe the veteran, whatever, draft the guy in third day, And they ended up doing that, and really good pedigree from him. He actually played right tackle in high school. It was on an incredible high school team with Patrick Surtain Jr. Patrick Surtain's dad was actually the coach. So like he's played damn good football for years down in Florida. And I think he could come in and contribute right away. And I'm hoping he can contribute right away, because the rotational guys are great and all, you need those, but we need someone that's actually a stability next to Kenny Clark. And I'm really, really hoping Slayton can do that. One other thing to point out, too, I think he measured in at about 330, 340. One of the beat reporters asked him where he would see himself weight-wise, which I thought was a damn good question. He said 320 he would try to get to. Now, when he gets in the locker room and in the rookie camp and stuff, and we'll see what the defensive coordinator, Joe Barry, wants him to do, but it's not as impressive anymore, someone that was pushing 340, if we're going to get him down to 320. But if it helps with his lateral movement and whatnot, I like the pick. Slayton's a guy that I'm really going to really be hoping for, because, frankly, everyone else in the defensive line has not impressed me besides Kenny Clark.
Yeah, well, when I made my sheet, he was 358.
That's incredible.
He's a hoss.
That's a big boy. You guys know how much I love mock draftable. So I went ahead and did a quick search on old TJ Slayton here. Two of his top five comps are former Packers, actually. Number one most athletic comp is Kyrie Thornton. 78.3% athletic comp, and then the fifth one is Mike Pennell. Yep. So he's got Packer genes in him in terms of his athleticism and his build at his size. When I saw the pick, I didn't necessarily know the name, and I went and I looked. I was like, okay, 340, all right, nose tackle. And then I'm like, we talked last week on the pod. We wanted Tyler Shelvin because he's just a big dude that's a true nose tackle. And some people are saying, oh, he doesn't really have he's not really the pass rushing type defensive tackle. It's like, cool. That's not what I wanted to do. I wanted to go sit on the nose and just be in the way of everybody else. So, yeah, no, I like the Slayton pick as long as I agree. I don't really want him to come down to 320. I'd rather him just play as a true nose and free up Kenny Clark to play as a 3-4 defensive end type and just let him do that. I don't really want him to get too much thinner. If that's what Barry wants him to do, sure, go for it. But if he's a traditional nose, I like getting him, especially in the fifth round.
Yeah, I'm with you. I want him to stay at about 335. Even 330, I think, is good. You're not going to ask him to pass rush. You're not going to ask him to try and go lateral, move side to side. You'll tell him, go over the center, hold him there, and push him backwards. You go straight lines. And I think he's very good at that. I liked what I saw, a lot of his stuff at Florida. Only a senior. Got pretty good grades. I know Andrew Murtag was pretty high on him. Had him at 128 on his big board for Game On. That's I like that. For a fifth-round pick, I am very proud of that. I think he's going to come in and he's going to get playing time right away. That's a really solid move. Five picks later, they went back to defense at 178, and they took the only non-Power 3 conference player, and that's Shamar Jean Charles, quarterback out of Appalachian State. Productive player. I know not the biggest RAS guy, but he made plays, and he was a good player for them, 5'11", 180. And I really liked hearing what Aqib Talib said about Eric Stokes when he did his analysis for Bleacher Report. If the ball finds you in college, it's going to find you in the NFL. And the ball found Shamar Jean Charles at Appalachian State. And I think if they're special teams, whether it's in the slot in a couple years after he learned under Channon Sullivan for a season, I think this is a very safe pick and a very good pick for getting a good football player from a small school.
I agree. And when this pick came off the board, Gage, were you someone that was on Jean Charles, or am I just making that up? Or was it a different App State guy you were liking? I thought this was maybe your dude.
You're just making that up. That's not me. I'm not even going to try and claim that I'm smart and I picked a guy that Green Bay drafted. Unfortunately, that's not me. If I was on him, if I was on somebody else, I don't know who it was. I've slept since then. But, yeah, unfortunately, I cannot lay claim to this being one of the guys I was in on. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
No, that's I respect you denying that. But this is a guy that, you know, he's going to be a piece in that secondary. The secondary is kind of up in the air. We're not really sure what it's going to look like. You know, second corner is pretty solidified with Kevin King. Stokes is going to come and compete, which is great. I think this might be a dude, Jean Charles, who kind of subs out for Kadar Holman. Similar type, smaller school from Toledo. He's from App State. Like, kind of a speed dude. Maybe he can play in the nickel, but you don't really know where he's going to end up. I think it's just a good guy to possibly contribute right away. But as you mentioned, Mike, if the like you said, if he's making plays in college, odds are the ball will still find him in the NFL. I look for him to at least be somewhat of an integral piece, whether it's a dime sets or wherever he can fit in, because the secondary, the depth we have is great. We just need some of that, you know, that cream to flow to the top.
Especially when every single one of them is up after this year on contracts, except for Jair Alexander. So they're going to have to look. But just as we're doing this, I've been checking out his NFL.com prospect profile as we're going through each player. His NFL comparison, Will Redmond. Redmond was a top 100 pick.
Ridiculous. And that tells me, like, is he a little bit more physical like Will? Because, like, I like that then. Like, can he play in the box? That would be fantastic.
Here's his overview. Boundary corner who stays in the receiver's business all day long. He's a little undersized to take on the big wideouts, but he's a feisty cover man with good agility and short area quickness, and coverage movement is fairly fluid. That screams to me a little bit more slot. He'll lose some battles due to his size and length, but he's got good route recognition and ball timing to make finishing catches a contested effort. He's not the best in run support, which could be exploited, but he's better in man coverage and capable in zone. He had 27 passes defense his last two seasons, allowed 34% completion rate last year. 2-year starter at App State. They've been a good program for a while. And again, in round five, these are developmental guys. These are guys who you're going to try and take a look at. And 5'10", 184, if he can play special teams, sit for a year under Chan and Sullivan, I know there's still sour taste from 2020, but I really liked what this staff did this year. They addressed positions they wanted to, that they needed to, and Gene Charles is another one of those, getting another corner to add to this room with everyone coming up after the season. They got to start looking ahead as well. So now moving into round number six, and this is going to be one of the feel-good stories of a long time in Packers lore. At 214, they took Cole Van Lannen, who was listed here as a guard. He was a left tackle for the Badgers for multiple seasons. A Green Bay native. He's living in Suamico right now, about 15 minutes north. He went to Bayport. He was still a kid watching them win the Super Bowl in 2010. He played in Lambeau against LSU that year. He's a guy, not the greatest athletically, but he's physical, nasty, a good solid technician. He probably won't start many games, but again, another good rotational guy, Lucas Patrick type, lunch pail dude, and just hearing the story that he's going to go from Green Bay to Madison back to Green Bay. That's a storybook type of situation, and I was talking to my family when I got back from work today, and they compared him. Could he be Mark Tauscher? A guy stays in his entire career in Wisconsin.
I'm so pumped for Cole. Like, honestly, like, living in Green Bay, I try to follow local sports as much as possible, especially football, because there's always kids coming out of here. And Cole was one that kind of, after Alec Ingold left, he was kind of the next dude that came out of Bayport that was highly touted. He was just a stud, like, and you knew he was going to go on. And when he signed with the Badgers, I'm like, okay, that's awesome for him. He's going to have a great opportunity there. Played on, you know, the incredible pedigree that is the Wisconsin Badgers offensive line fraternity. But the fact that he's able to stay in state and come and basically live out his childhood dream and come, I mean, play at a historic stadium that's 15 minutes from his house is just, it's unbelievable. I feel so happy for him, and just like, everyone in the community, it's going to be awesome. There will definitely be some hit pieces on him, and he'll probably let, you know, any reporter get access to him and just talk about the small-town kid out of Green Bay or Suamico to be able to play for the Packers. So, again, like we mentioned before, to beat the dead horse even more on the Kentucky Derby Day, he is a versatile lineman, and that is exactly what the Packers need and want. And whether he plays guard, whether he plays tackle, I don't really care. One way or another, they're addressing the fact that we're probably going to need someone to step in at tackle with Bakhtiari banged up, or the trickle-down effect if they need to step in at guard or right tackle that someone can move over. But I'm pumped for Cole. It's awesome, and I cannot wait to see what jersey he gets, because I guarantee there will be a ton of those in Brown County.
For what it's worth, I saw some similar reports in terms of he's limited athletically, but I mean, among offensive tackles in the mock draftable database, he's got a percentile or better of like 65th percentile or better in 10 yard split, 20 yard split, 40-yard dash, vert jump, broad jump, three cone, and 20-yard shuttle. He's 65th percentile or better in all of those, and that's among tackles. Among offensive linemen, 67th percentile or better in all of those categories as well. So while there may be some knocks on him in terms of, like, some people say he's limited athletically, I mean, he tested really damn well. So I don't know what you're necessarily wanting from an athleticism standpoint. I like him. And like I said at the very top of the show, offensive linemen, you can never have too many of them. I don't care what anybody says. You can never have too many offensive linemen. You can never have too many pass rushers. And then in the modern NFL, you can never have too many wide receivers or corners. Van Lannen, even if he doesn't start from day one or start ever, he seems like he's going to be a versatile offensive lineman that can contribute for a long time. He's J.C. Treader is his third, like, most similar athletic comp at a 76%. And Van Lannen seems like he could run block. Obviously, when you play for Wisconsin, you have to know how to run block. He needs to maybe be a little bit better in, like, get a little bit better in pass protection. But in this offensive line room, he doesn't have to be ready to play from day one. He has time to develop and to get ready up to speed at the NFL level. So that's, and especially if he's going to come into a room that's got, like, you have Josh Myers in front of him, you have Elton Jenkins, you have Lucas Patrick and John Runyon Jr., who I thought were good, if not starters last year, they were good rotation level linemen. He's coming in, he's got experience in college, he's coming into an experienced interior offensive line room. So I'm a fan of the pick. Another guy that's just going to come in and can, like you said, Mike, he's a lunch pail guy. He's going to come in, do his job, go home. Even if he's never the best player at the position, he'll always be a solid player. And if you're getting just solid production in the sixth round, you can't ask for anything more than that.
For sure. And you talked about the J.C. Treader stuff. I thought also about Ricky Wagner. Multi-year mm-hmm. left tackle for the Badgers, comes in, plays the right side, good run blocker. People didn't think he'd be able to hold up in the pass game in the NFL. He carved out a really nice career. Van Lannen, people are saying he's undersized. He's 6'4", 305 with almost 34-inch arms.
Right.
That's a
one thing too with the guy. When you look at the RAS, you can switch it. So at tackle, he's an 8.49, but when you switch it to guard, he is a 9.45. And then obviously when he goes to guard, he increases because the height, weight, and bench don't factor in as much as he does at tackle. So, but like Gage said, everything else, the measurable or the, you know, anything lateral movement, anything distance, 20 split, 10 split shuttle, three cone, all phenomenal. So I'm excited to see him and love lunch pail guys. Big fan of those.
For sure. And Matt, like you said, the story is always going to be a big thing. And every question he was asked during his press conference on the Zoom call after he got picked was, what was your favorite player growing up? What was your biggest memory at Lambeau? What was it like going to Bayport, all that kind of stuff, which is always a cool thing. And then also the story of when he got the phone call is always a really funny story, where he said he was with his family and some close friends up in Swampico, and he got the phone call and it said suspected spam, and it was a Green Bay number. He answered it and it was Matt LaFleur saying, do you want to be a Packer? And everyone was great. So, and then he said they're going to go out and party tonight, so good for Cole. And another offensive lineman, that's six offensive linemen in two seasons. I think there's a trend going forward for the Packers. Six picks later, they made another pick. They made their final defensive pick of the nine picks, and really only four of the nine were on defense. And this is Isaiah McDuffie, linebacker from Boston College. Super productive player. Not the biggest guy, but He racked up tackles like crazy from the inside for the Eagles. And I know A.J. Dillon was hyped with this pick, former teammate of his. Again, sixth-round pick, get him out there on special teams, 6'1", 224. Let him just go and hit things. And, I mean, they've picked Desmond Bishop late in the sixth round, I think, as well. So, I mean, I think this is a good pick. Again, another productive college linebacker. If he can wrap up and bring guys down, they'll find a spot for him.
I mean, it's a linebacker pick that is just, it's not sexy to me. And like, that's, I've been waiting for that for years. I wanted this, you know, really hybrid inside linebacker. And I just don't think that the Packers are about that. Obviously, like you said, productive. He's going to be a sure tackler, I think. Some comparables, I think a Desmond Bishop comparison's good. I know Gage has a couple he looked up to that are, you know, again, no one that's flashy or sexy, but they're going to be someone that's going to fill the hole. And maybe they already have that guy on the roster. Who knows what Martin or Barnes will be up to, but Overall, I think it's another solid pick, can contribute in that locker room right away, potentially on special teams as well. But you know, you look at him, and I think he's got some definitely room to grow. But he was definitely successful and productive at Boston College.
Yeah, he was a productive player, and like I said at the very top of the show here, he's the hybrid guy that you're hoping develops into a coverage guy. He's what you are like, what you hoped Oren Burks was going to be, and Oren Burks just hasn't been able to be so far. At worst, I think he could be a special teams player. At best, he could be a coverage linebacker. I don't think he's ever going to be a like a run stuff or a thumper type, but I think, again, in round six, you're throwing darts and throwing a dart at a guy who was a solid athlete and had a 76% 40-yard dash. He's 227 pounds, so he's not as light as a guy, say, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah out of Notre Dame, who went to Cleveland. But I think he's a very solid player that I think he's got a high floor in terms of just he can come in and play special teams from day one. And you always need special teams players because it's just the way of the world. So if he can bring in some blitzing, use his athleticism, maybe he can be into the linebacker rotation for Green Bay. But at a worst case scenario, he's at least going to play on special teams for you. So in the sixth round, you can't nitpick too much.
For sure. Redshirt junior, played essentially two seasons as a starter at Boston College, and in both those full seasons he had 85 or more tackles and 5.5 more tackles for loss and more than 3 sacks in both of those years. When you look at his NFL.com profile from Lance Zierlein, coach's son, outstanding work ethic on and off the field, toughness and intensity are trademarks, chase and tackle energy. I like that. He's going to chase guys down. Really good at recognizing tendencies. Beats running back to the run lanes, a downhill player, plays with leverage, upper body power is a big thing, and he can work around in traffic, and wasted motion isn't there as well. That stuff makes me really, really excited. His RAS 7.32, a lot of that had to do with his agility. Grades are very low, but 4.6, 140, he can run, 2.63, 20-yard split, 10-foot, 1-inch broad jump, 25 reps on the bench at 220.
This guy seems
like to be a bowling ball running downhill, and even with at 227, that's some power. And if he's gonna come in, if he's gonna go in and just hit, at the very least, that screams that he's gonna go in and hurt people on special teams right off the bat. He's gonna be a punt coverage guy, he'll be a kick coverage guy, and if the rules had been around still as they were 10 years ago, he'd be the wedge buster. But I sixth round pick. We talked about this just now, that you're taking flyers on guys. There's not great expectations on these late round picks. You hope you hit on them, but if you don't, it's no really big loss. And again, McDuffie, productive guy, still pretty young, only played 4 years of college ball. And I'm sure he's going to get used to Green Bay very quickly with his old teammate in A.J. Dillon. So now we get to one more pick. We'll also talk a little bit about some of the undrafted guys that we're seeing reported. We'll touch on those at the end. And this is the highest rated guy on my board from the 6 picks on Saturday. And that's Kylan Hill, running back Mississippi State, went 256th overall. For Hill, big, strong back, 5'10", 214, 22 reps on the bench, 10'2", broad jump. Again, not the greatest speed, not the greatest agility, but he's going to run you over. And that third running back spot is wide open. It's going to be him, Patrick Taylor, Dexter Williams, Mike Weber. There's going to be guys battling for it. But now Hill's got to have the inside track, and I know his tape is a lot of fun to watch.
I like Kylan Hill. I think I was extremely excited for them to get him. I wasn't sure if they were going to go running back in day three. It seemed like they weren't, and then they got some good value based off of Mike's board, and I think a lot of people thought Hill should have gone better, a little sooner. I like his physicality quite a bit. He checks a lot of boxes, good in run protection, can catch the ball in the backfield, make guys miss, he can run through guys, a little compact type dude, and like you mentioned, Mike, it's super important that they're having another running back, I think, on the roster, because I might be the biggest hater on Pack-A-Day Podcast of Dexter Williams, and I will continue to carry that torch for us. So they need someone that can compete at that third spot. Patrick Taylor's a nice piece to have, but really when it comes down to it, I think Kylan Hill could be a contributor right away and could be someone that just could be that other gadget piece paired with Amari Rodgers, who we got selected yesterday, or I guess Friday. But overall, I'm excited with it. It was a great way to cap off the 3 days of selections, and it's just it's a overall, if we look back on this entire day, or even all the picks, I'm very pleased with all the selections. What were your thoughts on Kylan Hill, Gage?
I don't mind the Kylan Hill pick. At that stage of the draft, there was only so many directions I could see them going, and running back was one of them. I was with this running back class, it was not the best. There was a couple like good names at the top, and then it kind of fell off really, really hard, and that was evident with how late some of these running backs were going. Like Michael Carter was ended up being RB4, and I'm pretty sure he wouldn't take it till the fourth round even. Some of his athletic comps, speaking about Kylan Hill here, you got J.K. Dobbins, Damien Harris, Kareem Hunt, DJ Dallas from last year. So a lot of talented names there alongside him. I like the value in the seventh round with the 256th pick. I think you definitely could have done a lot worse there. There was guys at that spot that I might have taken ahead of him, specifically looking at wide receiver with like Josh Jameter Bebe being undrafted there and just some other guys. But at the same time, I also know that the Green Bay wide receiver room is extremely deep and they didn't necessarily need to focus on that. So they needed to go to a position that they were a little less deep at, and running back is one of them. You talked about Dexter Williams. You're not a fan of him. You have A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones at the top two, but in case one of those guys were to go down, you need to have a safe, consistent third guy. And Kylan Hill, if it wasn't for Mike Leach coming this past year, I think Kylan Hill would have been picked much higher. He just had a really quiet year. The team lost a lot of games due to COVID and other reasons, and he just didn't get to play nearly as much as he did. He had a thousand yard season in 2019, and then just 2020 just didn't get the work, the touches, and the games to get rolling. So I think Kylan Hill getting him at this pick, especially when if he came out last year or if he had another year like he did last year, would have been picked a lot higher, as a really good value at that stage of the draft.
Oh, man, as soon as you brought up Josh Jameter Bebe, I thought of last week, and I got sad. He just signed with the Jaguars as well.
Yep, I'd seen that while we were talking earlier. I was looking through some of the undrafted announcements, and I saw he was one of them. There was obviously Mark Wilson, which we talked about beforehand. One that has been announced, not by one of the main guys, is out of Bailey Gaither out of San Jose State. He signed with Green Bay about 40 minutes ago or so. He was announced.
This was announced by the school.
Yeah, the school announced the Bailey Gaither signing. And then what are some of the other ones, Mike? We've kind of gone through the day three draft picks. Let's wrap this up with some of those UDFAs.
For sure. I'm on a 247 Sports Packer Report. They're keeping track. There's five so far. Bailey Gaither is the most recent one. A couple of Hawkeyes. And the other four are all Big Ten guys, too. So Coy Kronk, offensive lineman. I think he was at Indiana and then went to Iowa. Offensive lineman Jack Heflin.
That is correct.
Yes. Another defensive lineman from Iowa. Maybe another Mike Daniels, who knows. Michigan defensive lineman Carlo Kemp. Definitely a little bit undersized, but a good athlete. And also, but here's the big one. It happened right away. Is Christian Uphoff, Illinois State safety. And I know there's a lot of talk on him. He was rising a little bit. Now, I have him as safety 19, but 6'2 and a half, 213. Sounds like a center fielder who can go downhill. He's in a special teamer right away. There's the big one to keep an eye on. Is going to be Christian Uphoff. He's going to be the popular pick to make the roster of the undrafted guys, I'm guessing, going into camp. But we've got five so far. Matt, what do you think? And also now John Dietzen, former Badger offensive lineman, who was a Badger for, I'm pretty sure, like four different head coaches. He actually had retired for a year and came back and is now going to be suiting up for Green Bay in this training camp. So good for John as well. Came back from a lot of debilitating injuries. I think it was back and leg injuries that had him retire for a season before he came back last year and played at guard. Another big physical player.
Yeah, no, I like the two D tackles, Jack Heflin from Iowa and Carlo Kemp from Michigan. I think, you know, you only drafted one a true defensive lineman in the draft, but you're able to go get these undrafted guys who I think can come in and at least compete. I'm excited to see what they can do because I think many people are saying receiver, receiver, receiver for the last many years. I've been saying get some meat in the trenches on the defensive side of the ball. So that's itch my scratch, if you will. Christian Uphoff, I'm going to definitely have to look at. He seems like a dude that could be an absolute beast. Going back through some tape here, that'll be fun tonight. Kid out of Illinois State. But I think really like – undrafted guys are fun because there's always those names that I know us three, we watch a ton of college football, and there's always this guy like, hey, I remember him in this game or early on in the year. And it's always cool to see guys that can make a roster and compete. And it's a pretty good opportunity for the guys to come in and, you know, they're not selected maybe 252 and they have to go to a team that maybe is a bad fit. They're able to kind of let their agent do the work or themselves politic for them and get onto a team. So good opportunity for them to come and compete in Green Bay.
Yeah, if you're looking for the meat and potatoes trenches draft cycle, this has been your draft, hasn't it? There, Matt, you got
absolutely.
What happened between like the UDFA so far and then the draft picks? We have what, probably 8, 9 linemen or so. Let's see, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think like 5 in the draft.
Yep.
Plus another 2 or 3 in UDFA. So yeah, like 7 or 8.
Love it.
It's been a great draft cycle for you, and I agree with you. You can, like I said at the beginning, you can never have too many offensive linemen. You can never have too many defensive linemen and pass rushers because these guys are, if they get banged up, you need to have, like on defensive line, you need to have guys that can constantly come in to keep everybody fresh. On the offensive side of the ball, if anybody gets banged up, you need to have somebody be able to slide in and start because you're not going to always have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers luck for health. I talked about that, or I looked at this recently where the Bucs, I think, had 3 total players from their day one starting roster who weren't active for the Super Bowl. Wow. And one of those was their kicker. It was like 3 or 4, and one was the kicker. It was wild the amount of injury luck they had last year. No one's ever going to have that. It's not going to happen. So that's why depth is so important, especially in the trenches. And Green Bay has addressed that on both sides of the ball here. I like getting trench players. I like getting like you address positions of need. You got multiple corners. You have a slot receiver type in Amari Rodgers, who he can do inside outside stuff, but he's primarily a slot guy. You have Josh Myers, who I think can come in and take the spot of Corey Linsley from day one. If he can just work on his leverage, I think he can start from day one at center. And while it sucks to lose Corey Linsley, who is an all-pro, one of the best centers in football, Josh Myers is a pretty good replacement candidate coming in right away.
For sure, and this has been a lot of fun to talk about, and we'll keep updated here on the Pack-A-Day podcast for updates throughout the next few days on who's going to get brought in. We'll be doing deep dives starting really tomorrow. They're going to be doing deep dives on the UDFAs, or starting next week, they're going to be doing the draft recap. And then Tuesday will be the starting of the deep dives of all the picks. Gage, we'll be being joined by Eli next week for the 6th and 7th round picks. So Van Lannen, McDuffie, and Hill will be breaking down. We'll be taking deep dives on them. Matt, looks like you're going to be going back with Dan and Janelle in a couple of weeks, jumping right back into your regular rotations here on the Pack-A-Day podcast. Everyone, thank you for joining us. Gage, I'll go to you first, and now that the draft is done and things are winding up, what are you working on?
You can find me on Twitter, as always, at GBridgefordNFL. I don't have anything specifically that I'm working on in terms of, like, at this moment, I'm like, huh, I got to work on this thing. But I know that I'm working on signing up for some things for RotoBaller and Dynasty Nerds. I just saw my editor send a message across my desk about some stuff to work on over the next couple of days. So I'm sure that over the next couple of weeks, I'll be putting out a lot of content. And as I always say, it's all on my Twitter. It's just easier to find it all there than to tell you guys to get links to all of my different sites. So, but I'm sure I'll have draft coverage and fantasy aspect of stuff, as well as just the general NFL aspect of things.
And what about you, Matt?
Right now, it's awesome. We could put a little cap, if you will, on the draft, kind of pivot our focus into the off season. And, you know, there's not much to talk about after the draft now. There's nothing really going on in Green Bay that's too notable with the franchise. So hopefully something pops up along the way here. But you can find me still on Twitter at Matt_Frey_. That's at MATT_FRA_. Check out all the content we're putting out, Pack-A-Day podcast. Everyone's doing an excellent job. Check out Game on Wisconsin. We've got a ton of stuff brewing there that'll be incredible as we prepare for the start of the season. What are we're going to be about 11 days out from the schedule coming out as well, so that'll be pumped. Got to figure out which games I'm going to get to, and hopefully some people can make it in town this year. Fingers crossed. But other than that, it's just like I said, it's a feather in our cap. It's just one of those benchmarks in the off season, and we just go to the next and go to the next and just try to get this roster as polished as possible and make sure there's pieces in place that can make this team phenomenal. What about you, Mike? What do you got going on, buddy?
You can find me on Twitter at Mike Wendland. It is all one word, W-E-N-D-L-A-N-D-T. You can find my broadcasting work at ZaleskiSports.com. I've been doing a lot of baseball and softball starting this week, high school football wrapping up this weird spring season, which gave me a great opportunity yesterday to talk to Ryan Ramczyk, which is always kind of cool to talk to an NFL player. And he's a very, very large human being. But you can just find me there. My DMs are always open if you ever want to talk about anything, whether it's sports, movies, life, whatever. I'm always available. And if I see it, I answer it without fail. And you can also find us at Packaday Podcast on Twitter, wherever your podcast platforms can be found, whether it's Spotify, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, we'll be there. And check out tomorrow as they take a look at some of the UDFAs and break down the draft recap. With looks like Andy and Ben will be doing that. So everyone, thank you for joining us. Thank you for sticking with us throughout all of these 3 days of the draft. 9 players coming to Green Bay as draft picks. Another 6 so far confirmed as undrafted free agents. It's going to be a lot of fun looking forward to summer to see who's going to be wearing the green and gold this fall. So for all of us, for Gage Bridgeford and Matt Fralick, this is Mike Wendland saying so long, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Everyone, stay warm, stay safe, always carry the G, and go Pack, go.